Hi, and welcome to the Yes to Life show on UK Health Radio. I'm Robin Daly, regular host for the show and founder of Yes to Life, the UK's integrative cancer care charity that's here to help people in the UK find out about and obtain integrative medicine to help their recovery. For this week's show, I'd like to present to you the Yes to Life Cancer Support Group Initiative, WIGWAM. And to do this, I'm joined by Claire McCluskey, a Yes to Life trustee who's heading up the initiative. And during the show, we're also going to hear from Sue De Cesare, who is joining us from her Somerset hideaway, where she retired recently, having been Executive Director of Yes to Life for many years. And we're also going to hear from Philip Booth. Philip was co-founder of the Stroud Wigwam Group, and so can tell us all about the workings of the group. I'm starting out talking to Claire over the internet at her home in rural Oxfordshire. Hi Claire, thanks so much for coming on the show to talk about the Wigwam initiative that you're heading up for Yes to Life.
Really pleased to be here, Robin. I'm so excited about this project. I can't tell you.
Great. Before we get on to Wigwam, I'd like to tell listeners that you've been involved with Yes to Life for well over a decade. How many years?
About 12, I think.
12, yeah, right. Starting out working on a project for us and then moving to the helpline. In fact, I don't think you've ever really moved off the helpline, have you? And for the last few years, you've been a trustee. So extraordinary dedication through good and bad times. What in particular about our mission is it that gets you out of bed in the morning, so to speak?
Well, having support out there for people, you know, a real time of need. And, you know, speaking for myself, when I had cancer and wanted to look at a different approach, you know, or to see what all my options were, there was nothing really. I couldn't find anything, and it really stressed me out. And I basically gave up and just did what I was told at the beginning, you know, and then when I felt more relaxed, I went out. But I think just having, you know, somewhere to go where you can get the support, talk to somebody, read about the different options, find out about the different options is so, so valuable. Mm. So, yeah, that's what gets me up. Anyway, and you, of course, Robin.
Fantastic. So, on to Wigwam. So it's not a new initiative, but it has taken a bit of a turn recently, mainly due to the coronavirus. We can go into the new developments in some detail a bit later on in the show, but can you start out by just summing up what it is? What is Wigwam? What's its ethos? What does it do?
It's a way of bringing people together to support each other to find out the best ways of healing their mind and body when they're living with cancer. So there's so many things out there that you can do for yourself to help improve process through treatment and after treatment, both physically and emotionally and mentally. So, and it's people coming together to be able to talk about that and find out what's out there. But really, I think it'd be best to pass this over to Sue, because she came up with this initiative at the start. And I love the way, you know, the quote she gave us for the new website, which we'll be talking about soon. But Sue, would you like to say how it started?
Hi, yes. Hi, Claire. Hi, Robin.
Hi, Sue.
I was kind of thinking a bit about this more recently, because we've been talking quite a bit about Wigwam. And I think the first thing was we ran a yoga workshop in Covent Garden. This must be going back four years, I reckon. And there were six women. None of them knew each other. And they'd all travelled from all ridiculous distances to come to this, which was always quite a surprise. And after the workshop had finished, they were all chatting to each other. And they all went into Neil's yard to have lunch together. And they looked really happy.
Right.
And I remember going home thinking, we should do something about this. This is crazy. They have made a friendship group out of nothing.
Yeah.
You know, we were doing yoga. It's not like we were all sitting around chatting, but there was a real need for that. And as time went on, it was sort of in my head. And we started doing an application for money for the lottery fund. And as part of that, we did a survey. And I could see myself gearing this whole survey towards some sort of group where people could get together, a safe place where they could talk about doing complementary and alternative medicine, or just about what they were doing. And what came out of that survey, and we had an amazing response to it, was there was a real need for people to be in a safe space where they weren't being told what to do. They weren't being made to feel silly for looking to do something different. And they could share their experience and be listened to and have a voice. And that was really the impetus for saying, right, we've just got to do this. I don't know how we're going to do it, but we've just got to do it. We've got to set up something. Doesn't matter how small it is. I think that was the thing. It's got to be massive. It just needed to be, even if it was two people that lived close to each other but didn't know each other, we could set something up with them right. And give them the tools to do it. And that's kind of how it started.
Fantastic.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, as you were saying that, thanks a lot, Sue. It's brilliant to hear that. But I was just looking for a nice quote yesterday and I came across this. Surround yourself only by people who are going to lift you higher. And I think Oprah Winfrey said that. But actually, I think that's perfectly encapsulates it in a way, doesn't it? Because sometimes it's really hard to discuss, you know, even with family and friends, if you want to go a slightly different route. And, you know, and certainly lots of people have experienced resistance to taking a broader approach, you know, when they've tried to discuss it with their medical practitioners. So it's really nice to be able to be with other people who are going down the same road. And I think that's one of the real values of being in a group, is that you know, when you join a group, you know, you can feel a sense of hope, because you can see people possibly further down the line in their treatment or their recovery or all the things they're doing for themselves, that you realise, oh yes, there's so much I can take control of. Because the main thing with any big shock in your life, and, you know, particularly an illness like cancer, is all the uncertainty that comes with it. And when we feel so uncertain, gaining some control helps. And that's all the things that we can do for ourselves in the process.
Right.
And I just wanted to add, actually, that, you know, when Sue started this up and was looking for a name for it, I was actually running a group at that time for people living with cancer. And it was a mindfulness group here in Oxford, at the Maggie Centre, actually. And so I put out, you know, to the group members, you know, anybody got a good name for this, an idea of a name? And somebody in that group, Richard Mayen White, who's on the new website, came up with the name of Wigwam, because it was the idea of people leaning in on each other and supporting each other, and no particular hierarchy or leader, but just coming together to support each other and be strong together, which Sue obviously loved because she chose that one.
Great.
Yeah, I think obviously naming anything is sometimes the most difficult thing.
Yeah.
And we had a few suggestions, but somehow it did resonate. I have to say, there was a little bit of resistance about the name, because obviously the historic meaning and, you know, what were we trying to, it didn't sort of link to what is seen in history as Indians and various other tribes using them. But another guy, Tony Colville, who's another person that was sort of supporting the charity, and he'd been to an event where, in fact, there were wigwams in a field, and it was for children and teenagers that wanted to sit in a safe space to talk about their issues and their problems with a counsellor. And when I mentioned this to him, he said, that fits. The resonance of what it's trying to achieve fits exactly with that. Mm. Don't worry, you know, you will never please everybody when you're naming something. So I did feel a little bit more comfortable about it. But with all things in life, you know, it's very difficult to please everybody. But it came, the name came from the heart of what we were trying to achieve. And I think the definition absolutely sums up what the group is about. And I think Claire's right in the being comfortable and supported in a group that isn't telling you what to do. So you may have very supportive family, even if you're doing alternative or complementary medicine alongside your conventional treatment, but they tend not to listen. And I think that came across quite a lot in talking to people about the group. And the feedback we've had has been amazing. So I think it started small, but I can see it growing into, you know, a hugely supportive network for people across the UK.
Yeah, I think
so. There's something so comforting and freeing in a way when you're with people going through the same challenge as yourself, where you feel you can be totally honest about what you're feeling. You're not going to upset a family member because they're seeing how sad you are or how stressed or anxious you are or how terrified you are, which sometimes we don't show our family members because we don't want to upset them. But, you know, it's a safe space where you can be totally yourself with other people who know how you feel because they're going through a similar thing. And I think that's the other strength of the group. Yeah. And, you know, this particular group, Wigwam.
When we did the survey, as part of that, we had to go and spend time with another type of support group. And we went to meet the Hitchin group of carers. That's what sort of triggered it. And actually, they gave us all the pitfalls of how not to create a support group. And one of the downfalls they said was, sometimes there's one individual that will want to dominate a group, and it can be often the person that sets it up. It becomes their group, and they will dictate how it's run, what they're going to talk about, and they don't listen. And this really, again, resonated. I thought, gosh, we must not let this happen. Some of the bigger cancer charities, their support groups are very much like this. They're very prescribed. And when we did a Skype the other day with some of the people from the Wigwam groups, that's exactly what hasn't happened. And that is the deepest joy to hear that the types of people coming along to these groups understand what these groups are about. And I think the reason that has happened is because it has grown organically, and people are listening to each other. And I think that is marvellous that that is the case.
Mm-hmm. Great. All right. Well, look, thank you very much. It's great to hear it from the horse's mouth, as they say, the person who came up with the idea, and your thinking behind it right at the start. Very nice. Thank you, Sue.
Yeah. Pleasure, Robin. Thanks very much. Nice to be part of it. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you, Sue.
Okay. So so we've got some local groups that are in operation, and I believe there are more in the pipeline being talked about. Do you want to give us an overview of what goes on in these groups, Claire?
Well, can I just say what happened when we took it off, Robin? Because it's sort of like, you know, it was a fantastic idea of Sue's and great initiative. And there were three groups running out there at the time that this pandemic began. And I just felt really, really strongly I'd started being involved in coordinating them. It just felt absolutely vital at the beginning of this pandemic and lockdown that we got more support out to more people, and Wigwam seemed the perfect way forward. Because, as we all know, the pandemic's bringing uncertainty and to everybody, not just people living with cancer. But there was the double whammy for people with a cancer diagnosis because treatments were being cancelled and surgery was being cancelled, and the feeling of extra vulnerability of, you know, people, well, in lockdown, but going out at all, or people in the family going out and coming back in, the fear of catching it. So it felt vital to try and get Wigwam bigger. And once that sort of idea came, it's just sort of like it's been carried along with this fantastic energy that's, because I sort of reached out to the, you know, the current wigwammers and the fantastic energy that came from these three groups, because they were fully on board with helping create a website to grow Wigwam. So we now have a dedicated Wigwam website, and you know, all the fabulous content on the website has been a sort of joint effort with, you know, myself, Faye, who's another trustee at the charity, Philip, who runs Wigwam Stroud, Tony and Heather, who run Wigwam Staines, and Jill, who runs Amber Club, which is a wigwam in Hartford. So it was, you know, thanks to this fantastic team and all the energy coming. And then Miguel, our current executive director, created this beautiful website. You know, we had people, so, you know, we've got Richard May and White's lovely quote on there and Sue's quote of, you know, how she initially came up with the idea. And we've got, you know, our lovely homepage drawing, which is from somebody who contributed right at the start of lockdown to our newsletter, Fiona Smith. So it's really, it's just so exciting. And actually, it is volunteer week this week. So it's a great opportunity. I'd love to just say thank you to everybody who took time and made the effort to make this wigwam happen and to get as much support out there to as many people as we could. So, yeah, the idea of the website was connecting more people with each other.
Okay, well, look, we can come back round to what's happening now a bit later in the show. But look, I'm really pleased to say that we have a veteran of the circuit, veteran wigwammer, Philip, is joining us. He's been running a group for some time. I'm not exactly sure how long it is, but he's one of the original set up in response to Sue's invitation. And he is here to talk to us today about the real world of actually running a group or what's happening there. So, Philip, thanks so much for joining us today.
Pleasure.
How long actually has the Stroud group been running?
It's about a year and a half now, okay. I reckon. Yeah. Okay.
Very good. And so what made you think about setting up a group like this?
Well, I was diagnosed with prostate cancer about 2.5-3 years ago. Mm-hmm. And when I spoke with the oncologist, I sort of enthusiastically asked about diet and exercise. And the response was, well, you're doing all right already. You're very healthy. That's great. Just keep up the good work. And I think there was also, I've used valerian to help with sleeping in the past. I've had acupuncture. I've done all sorts of things in the past. And I just thought my gut feeling was there's something more I can do to support my cancer than just doing what they're suggesting.
Right.
So I went along to the local prostate cancer support group, and it's an absolutely excellent, excellent group with, but again, it was most of its focus was around the sort of mainstream offer from our health services. Very little about sort of complementary options or any of those sorts of things. And so I was doing more reading online, and then I came across some articles around exercise. And I think, well, I kept one piece of research really stood out for me. It said that in 2014, there were 4,600 Swedish men with prostate cancer were looked at. And they found that those that were doing more than 20 minutes of exercise or cycling every day had a 39% lower risk of dying from cancer and a 30% lower risk from dying from any other cause. And I thought, 39% lower risk of dying from cancer. This is just huge.
Yeah, massive.
Goodness, nobody mentioned it to me. And yet if it was a pill, the health service would be throwing it at me.
Yeah.
So I thought, goodness, there's more out there. So I think I started to have some more conversations with people. And it was actually at True Feels in 2018, where Yesterlife had a stall. And True Feels is that amazing cancer festival. If you don't know about it, just definitely Google it. So I was at Atrew Fields, and I came across this stall, the Yes to Life stall, and had a conversation with the people there about saying, well, is there, you know, I hear you've got support groups. Is there one in Stroud? No. Well, I'd be interested in supporting one, but I haven't really got the energy to start one myself. So maybe we could put an email out or whatever. Anyway, after a little bit, I heard via Facebook page from Sharon, who lived locally, and the two of us ended up meeting. We ended up deciding to do it together, and we started the group with actually only three members. Met in each other's houses, and and that's where it started.
Excellent.
It's great the way it can start like that, Philip, isn't it? Start small and then gradually. I remember you saying to me that it was mainly word of mouth that helped it grow.
Yeah, it was pretty well all word of mouth. So we've actually grown over the time. We've got up to, we're 11 now, and we've actually had to say no to people joining because it's to meet in people's houses, which is what we've been doing. I know some groups meet in halls or other venues. But we've decided we wanted to carry on meeting in houses. And if you're getting usually 9 or 10 people turning up, my house is too little to have, well, even 9 and 10 is a squeeze. Yeah. So we've basically put a stop at 11, and we're going to try and support another group starting up if we get more people coming forward. And then we can perhaps run along in parallel.
Excellent.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, really good. So, yes, lives. As Sue described, gives people quite a free hand in how people set up their own group. It's not overly prescriptive. The idea being that people find out what they want to do, what's helpful to them, and they decide how they want to go about it. So given that, do you want to paint a little picture of who you are as a group and the ways in which you interact?
Right. Well, as I said, we meet once a month on a Friday afternoon. We were meeting in homes. Obviously, now we're doing it via Zoom, which is a little bit different, but it works surprisingly well. We've usually share where we're at. If people share, they might be sharing what they've been through recently, whether it's treatment or whatever, or maybe just feeling particularly down or whatever. But people share what they feel comfortable with. And what I love about the atmosphere is very, very sort of supportive and non-judgmental, and everything said in the group is confidential. So it feels a really safe place to explore. And some people may not feel able to share some of those feelings or thoughts with family members or people they're living with. So it's often a space that's been really supportive in that way. Mm. And then we've often had a topic or a theme for the session. We meet for a couple of hours, so that can be anything from I made a list of some of the things we've done in the past.
Come
things
on,
like sauna and hypothermia.
Mm-hmm.
We had a cancer coach come and visit us once. We spent one session talking about blood, urine and saliva tests of all sorts of different sorts, and ended up picking up tips like I was, you know, if you want a blood test for something that perhaps the NHS won't do, you have to often pay £25 to get it done privately. But apparently some GPs will do it if you're having other blood tests. They might take a bit of extra blood and do it if they think the test might be useful as well. So we picked up little tips like that. Kombucha, that fermented drink. We've looked at fear and recommended reading. My go-to book is always the Sophie Savage Cancer Whisperer, but I've now read loads more, and so lots of other great titles that we've been sharing with one another.
Right.
We looked at balancing hormones, all sorts of different things, and sharing perhaps who we think is perhaps a good therapist or some comments about our oncologist or good websites. It's very clearly, though, not about giving advice. It's us sharing where we're at and exploring some of these things together. Might be about local information, things like mindfulness classes, fermenting workshop that's happening locally. We've got a WhatsApp group that we can share stuff through as well. Links to conferences, so hear about sort of, you know, some people hadn't heard about the True Fields Cancer Festival. I think we're all going en masse. If it would have been this summer, but if it's next one, I think a large numbers of the group are actually all going to go because they all heard about how wonderful it was. Penny Braun conference that some people came along to as well. So yeah, it's sharing all sorts of different things, really.
A great resource. Brilliant. And how do you kind of decide what you're going to do next in terms of like talking about topics?
Oh, it's been just so wonderful because pretty well everybody either suggests an idea on WhatsApp or perhaps it's sort of evolved really organically. And everybody seems to take a lead in something or doing something. So one guy just last week decided that actually we need to review where we're at. So he sent around a little questionnaire that he's designed and sort of looking at, you know, what are we going to do if we've got 11 members? How do we expand? What are the ways that we could support that? Mm-hmm. Can we have carers joining the group or not? So it's been really, yes, evolving organically about how it might be or what we might discuss.
I think that's the real, gift in the whole idea of Wigwam, that it's so free. You know, each group can develop in its own way, depending on the facilitator and the members of the group, really. And, you know, as Philip said, quite clearly, it's not about advice, you know, and that's one of the, you know, the things that we make sure is said at the beginning. And the other thing, I mean, actually, I've got it written here that I wanted to say that, you know, Philip had written in his description of the group, who is the group open to? Anyone living with cancer who is non-judgmental about others' choices around both complementary and orthodox approaches. And I think that's a lovely criteria for membership. And the confidentiality bit that you said. So it's, you know, it's non-judgmental support of each other and confidential group. You know, and that, you know, they're the rules that each group coming together agree between them, and they're part of, you know, being part of Wigwam. They are key.
Our group's quite mixed as well. We've got T2s, T3s, T4s, different cancers, four or five men, you know, the rest. So it's a real mixture of people, really.
Nice.
Yeah. And again, the Wigwam name represents that, doesn't it? Because there's no one thing, is it? It's everybody leaning in and supporting each other.
And I think it's lovely because we've had some people who have followed all the complementary route. There are others who've just done the medical route and dabbled or had a little bit of the middle. So we've all different spaces. I've done a bit of both. So it's so it's a real mixture of people there.
Yeah, well, that's very good because I mean that completely reflects Yes to Life that set it up. That's exactly how we respond to people. We're non-judgmental. We just want to help people with what they want to know in order to help themselves. And, you know, if somebody wants to add a bit of massage to their otherwise entirely regular program of medical interventions, well, that's fine. And if somebody wants to go nowhere near a hospital, that's also fine. We're not there to tell anybody what to do, but actually just to help them to do what they want to do and help them find out what they want to do as well. So, yeah, that's really great. So what would you say, Philip, about how your group has changed over time? What's the things about it which have developed particularly that you've noticed?
I think what I've loved most is just the relationships that have developed over that time. And the trust that's been built up between people in the group. I mean, it is very special, and there's a real commitment to people coming every month. It's only one or two people who usually miss that monthly meeting, and so people are really committed to it and really supportive. We've also at the moment there's somebody who's been very unwell, and we've been doing every night at 6 o'clock on WhatsApp they're doing an intention, so just to remember and to support this person. So exactly. And that's been going on for 2 months now with people, again, pretty well everybody participating in that as well. So I think for me it's been just that level of support has sort of blown me away, and also the knowledge within the group, because there's people with different passions or different interests, so it's also been really lovely to see that grow over time.
Marvelous. And you mentioned, you know, your monthly meetings. How often you meet is another thing you decide as a group. You could meet every week if you wanted to. Yeah?
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
That's great. All right. So have you got a sort of peak thing you would like? I mean, maybe you've just told me, but is there some peak moment, something really great that happened in your group? I think it was just absolutely fabulous.
I think there's so many things. Certainly for me, that level of commitment or that support that I see every time we come there is probably the best thing. I mean, I had a quote from somebody just the other day who said, wow, this group is so amazing. I didn't know what I was missing until I found it, right. Which also was really lovely. And we've had that many other sort of similar comments from people about just how valuable they found it and how important it's been, yeah. Which has been great. It's almost like, I think, was it Sue or somebody else said once, it's about finding your tribe. And
yeah, right.
I also think it's really important that cancer doesn't dominate your life after you've perhaps been through the treatments and all the rest of it. I think Sophie Savage talks about cancer only taking up 5% of your life rather than the whole of your life. And I really like that idea as well. So this is, for some people, this is a group or a connection once a month. For others, it's a much bigger part of their journey. So at the moment, we're going to be exploring a lot more at our next meeting about off-label drugs. And some people have been through some of those protocols and others are just starting to think about them. So so many little peak moments. For me, probably the biggest, though, was the chocolate brownie made without sugar. it really was quite extraordinary. I've got the recipe, and I've only made it about four times so far.
Needs to be on the Wigwam website.
Absolutely,
a resource absolutely. For Wigwam groups. Very good.
Would you say, Philip, as well, that people get a benefit from helping each other? Because it sounds like when you were saying that, everybody's got different strengths and different knowledge, so they're bringing different things to the group.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, I think there's loads of research showing that actually how good giving is for your health and helping others. And absolutely, I think the support is leveled with the person who's been unwell. There are actually three of the group are actually cooking meals and taking them around to her at the moment every week. And so that, yes, those sorts of, another person's about those walking there at the weekend or, so it's, yes, those, and I had enormous support from one of the members of the group who's been particularly supportive through when I was going through treatment as well. Mm. So, definitely. That's a big part of it.
No, that's great to hear. I mean, the thing about cancer can be that it's isolating, people tend to feel isolated when they got it. And when you're isolated, the same stuff just goes round and round and round your head. Of course, you are self-preoccupied. How could you not be? And so this, I can imagine that this really lifts you out of that, for some other time. But you're thinking about somebody else and helping them must be good for you, I'm sure. OK, well, look, Philip, thanks so much for coming on and joining us today and telling us about the coal face there. Been doing a fantastic job out there. I just want to finish off by just telling listeners that you've just been appointed to a new role in Yes to Life. Do you want to tell us about it?
Oh, yes. It's such an exciting, cool title. It's a Wigwam Coordinator. So it's start next week, and it's going to be supporting setting up the online Wigwam groups. So there's supporting the forums. So we've got two things going on the website at the moment. One is the forums that are happening where we get speakers or people with particular knowledge or expertise who perhaps share that and we can ask questions. So we've had some great ones from Lizzie Davies talking exercise to Claire did a fantastic one on mindfulness. And we've had one talking about fear. Next week, I think, next one coming up is on is Jo Gamble, functional medicine. I think she was the first person in the country to
she was get the that first title qualified,
So there's the two things. So there's the forums and also setting up the online support groups or wigwams. So that'll be part of the focus over the next 3 months or so.
Brilliant. So people who are interested in joining somewhere are likely to be interacting with you. So that's very
absolutely.
Nice. wigwam.org.uk. Yes. Thank you very much, Philip. So, Claire, just want to spend 5 minutes now coming right up to date with Wigwam, all the things that you were talking about earlier that have kind of happened in response to the coronavirus and all the new difficulties it's brought along for people with cancer and how Wigwam's evolved, really, to meet that new need.
Bringing the existing groups were all brought online, so run on Zoom, which Philip talked about, and you know, the main aim was to be setting up more new groups online so we could, you know, more people will be able to benefit from getting support from each other. So that's starting the week after next. We've got enough people coming together to get the first online group running, and then we hope many will spring from there. It's getting the word out, right, really, the, you know, about Wigwam happening.
So these groups are non-geographic, unlike the one that Philip is running, for example, which is obviously located around Stroud. These ones are non-geographic, so one of the group members could be in Honolulu.
I suppose so, yes, they could be, yeah. Yeah, so the advantages of online is, yeah, they can be non-geographic. I mean, there's still the advantages of being geographic when we come out of all this.
Sure.
The other side, really. Because of what Philip again was saying about sharing local resources. But yeah, the advantages of being online is, you know, you don't need to go anywhere. And actually, you know, even if you were in the same geographical area, sometimes it's really difficult for people to get out and to travel to venues, you know, either because energy levels are really low or time it takes, appointments and demands in their lives. So it does make it more accessible to more people in that way. And then we expect that, you know, the groups, you know, there might be some groups setting up, you know, at the moment it's about supporting each other, you know, whatever stage your cancer is at or whatever type of cancer you have. But, you know, who knows, there might be people who want to come together either because of a specific cancer they're facing or because they want to focus on a specific approach that they want to take. You know, we're sort of open. But yeah, so it's exciting time. So as well as having the development of the online groups and so new Wigwam groups setting up, which are all supported. So, you know, Wigwam and Yes to Life, you know, we have a membership document for people signing up to be under Wigwam. So there are certain things people agree to before they can use the Wigwam name, like, you know, not giving advice being the key one and non-judgmental. But, you know, we want to be very careful about how these groups run, really, and that they are a place of safety and support for people to come to, not a place where they're going to be told what to do or judged in any way. And that everybody's welcome.
So do you want to tell us a bit about the forums now? I mean, Philip was mentioning earlier we've had a few and they're going to be ongoing. So just tell, if you could tell people briefly what they are and what they could expect if they join one.
Yeah, so the online forums are happening every other week on a Wednesday at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And you can join online, so it's a live show with an expert, you know, in different fields, but to do with managing cancer. And they usually give an introductory talk, and then there's always time for questions and answers. And it's, you can be anonymous if you want to, because it's via Zoom, so you don't need to show your face or your name, and you can still ask a question. You can ask questions in advance by email or using the chat function if you don't want to speak. And then these forums, which have been fantastic, the ones that have happened so far, are then edited and put up on the website. And we've got another great volunteer, Fraser Briggs, doing that for us.
And what for the future, Claire? What's planned?
We want to have weekly groups going, so not just our events, but ongoing weekly groups. So the first one that's probably going to happen is a weekly mindfulness group that's come out of that forum, and there's definitely some interest already in that. So, you know, watch the space. And we're hoping that there'll be an exercise one as well, following on from the exercise forum with Lizzie. And who knows what else will come up there. But what, and you know, with the, going back to the forums, it would be great if they became podcasts. I'd love to see them as podcasts that were more easily accessible on different things, or could reach a wider audience, because they're the Wigwam podcast, and I'm not quite sure how all that works. But ideally, how I'd like to see Wigwam develop is it's like the go-to place for all you need to do to help heal your body and mind when you're living with cancer. So we have loads of resources that start building up from the different Wigwam groups and what they've learned in their groups. And, you know, they can post resources on the website. We'll have our audios of the forums with lots of different speakers on lots of exciting topics. And we'll have the weekly groups so people can have ongoing support with exercise or mindfulness, or, you know, who knows what other groups will develop. And they can be drop-ins, so there's no expectation. And all this is free. That's the other fantastic thing. So, yeah, that's what I'd love to see, is it's the go-to place.
Great.
For helping yourself.
Brilliant. Thanks, Claire. Okay, well, look, we're out of time. Going to have to end it there. Before we finish, I would like to take this opportunity to give you a personal massive thanks for your absolute dedication to the charity fair, your determination to see it flourish, and you've been and you continue to be an absolute rock. So thanks very much for your contribution today to this show. Wigwam certainly got a huge new burst of momentum right now, and that's a lot to do with you. So big thanks, and thanks for telling us all about it.
Thank you, Robin. I've really loved being here. Yeah, thanks to everybody who made it happen.
Just to mention again, the website for Wigwam, where you can register your interest in starting a group or joining a group, find out about the scheduled events, as well as access resources. The address is wigwam.org.uk. Another great resource mentioned in the show I'd like to draw your attention to is True Fields, not spelt as you might expect, T-R-E-W, so truefields.com is where you can find out more, T-R-E-W, F-I-E-L-D-S, truefields.com. If you listened to last week's live show, you'll have noticed that Clive Carroll, the epic guitarist who plays the show tune Black Nile you can hear right now, sent in a special message and a guitar piece for the show that got tragically cut short. So I'm playing it in full for you now. Thanks so much for joining us today. I do hope you take a look at the new Wigwam website. I'll be back at the same time next week with another Yes to Life show here on UK Health Radio. Goodbye.
Hello, it's Clive Carroll here, and I'm sending congratulations to the Yes to Life show on their 5-year anniversary. Thanks very much for starting and ending the shows with my guitar playing over the years. And I'm sitting at home during lockdown, and right now I've got a guitar on my lap, and I thought I'd play you a Cannonball Adderley classic. This is a number called Sermonette, and I hope you like it. All right then, here goes.